So look to somebody, turn around, look at them, and just repeat after me. God made you a good-looking person. Amen. That's right. God made you a good-looking person. I don't care what the mirror says or anybody else. The Bible says he calls those things which are not as if they were. Amen. We are really glad to be back here. I understand you've been enjoying my executive pastor, Jake Corkin. He's been right with the past time. Really great. Amen. In behalf of Cornerstone, for those of you who are new with us, how many first-time people guests do we have with us? Hey, baby, how you doing about it? Isn't she cute? Look at that right there. Listen, for those of you who do not know, I'm John Wofford. I am the lead pastor of Cornerstone Assembly. I'm also the presbyter for this region. And while your pastor is recuperating, and he's doing really good, and yes, amen, doing really good, we've come in to help here, myself and my exec, while your pastor's recuperating. And I want to say thank you because I hear that you've been sending them a lot of good cards and emails and some thank you phone calls and just appreciation. And, you know, those things are good because when, you know, if you've been home for a while and you're recuperating, every now and then it's just good to hear that somebody loves you. Yeah. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're in a series at Cornerstone, and so I'm going to do it here as well because I believe it's fitting. We're doing a series at Cornerstone called Unshakable Faith. Now, we've been through a really difficult time with the hurricane. You didn't get hit as hard as we did. We've got 4,700 homes in my county that were almost totally destroyed. And we've had water up through the second story windows in a lot of places and people being evacuated from the roofs and so forth. And so, you know, we've it's times like this when, if you're not careful, your faith can be shaken. And sometimes our faith is shaken because events happen in life that we had not planned for. All right, let me say that one again. We didn't plan for it. It never crossed our mind that something might happen. There was a lady one time in our church, and I think she was in her mid-40s, I believe it was. She came to my office, sat down, and burst into tears. And I thought, oh God, her husband's leaving her. Or that one of her children is sick, or that she's lost her job or something. She looked at me, she cried out, oh, Pastor, I'm pregnant. I said, well, don't tell me. I said, you know, and, you know, but that was one of the surprises. All of her kids had already been grown, and they were already married, and here she was starting all over. Sometimes our faith is shaken because events out of our control happen. You know, it's okay. I once told God if he would just explain himself, it would be okay. And God, I honestly did. Those were my exact words, you know, because there was something going on in the church. And I said, well, God, if you just explain yourself to me, it would be okay. God immediately spoke to me and said, John, it's okay if you don't understand. And boy, you talking about a slap on the hind side. I mean, he popped me a good one. But, you know, it's when you realize that faith is not faith when everything is going our way. The Bible says if you see things, he says, where's faith in that? You know? And if everything, you know, can you imagine waking up one morning and all of a sudden hearing God say, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him on the altar? Can you imagine hearing that? I know some of you would say, hey, that's a great idea. But sometimes things happen that shakes our faith. There's a scripture. That talks about in the book of Psalms, David says, the Lord is my refuge, my rock, my strength. And in the King James, it says, I will not be greatly moved. Uh-huh. And you know, it doesn't say that we're not feeling it. Right. We're not greatly moved. Right. We have our moments. Mm-hmm. We have those seconds where that our world is rocking like an earthquake beneath our feet. We have those moments. And if anybody tells you, well, not me, I never have in those moments. I've got just total faith in God. Listen, they're either lying or they're too holy for me. You know, because honestly, I've been doing this 45 years, and every now and then I get shaken. I do get shaken. But it's okay because I know where now to run to. I know who is my help and who is my strength and my fortress. I know who it is. The Bible says, I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and in earth. The Bible says, my heart doth safely trust in him, but it doesn't mean there's not moments. So in unshakable faith, one of the things that I have learned in all these decades, I have learned that if God tells me something, or he's going to do something, or if God tells me to do something, there's nothing in the world that can stop it but me. Amen. Just me. Yes. You know, when the Lord told Peter and the rest of them, get in the boat and go to the other side, it didn't matter that there was a storm. It didn't matter that though the wind and the waves were filling the boat. That doesn't matter. Because the Lord had said, I'm going to meet you on the other side of the lake. And so they were going to get there, even if it meant they had to row with a boat full of water or they had to get out and walk. But they were going to get there because the Lord had said, you're going to meet to the other side and I'm going to meet you there. And so it doesn't matter how much your world changes. Because when God says it, that's it. That's all there is to it. Now, does it mean that I don't have wind and waves? Nope. Does it mean that I don't get knocked around? Nope. Does it mean that everybody's going to like me? Oh, that's a lie. Does it mean that, that everything's going to go exactly the way that I want it? Absolutely not. Because faith is not faith when I understand or I can see or that things are going my way. That's not where faith comes in. Faith comes in, says, though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. Faith says, I know it who I believe in and that he is able. The Bible says that Abraham determined that even if he offered Isaac on the altar, that God would raise him up from the dead. And so there are times when your faith is going to be shaken. But always remember that God always starts with the end in mind. And that's the title of the day's message. In order to have unshakable faith, you have to start with the end in mind. Let me give you a scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he said to them, Peter, James, John, and the other guys there, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, here's my entire outline. I've decided I'm going to save electronic digits. There it is, right there. So you can write this down because this will change your entire life and your outlook and your faith if you'll just get a hold of this one little screen, just this one. First of all, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Whatever it is in life, whatever God does in life, he always starts with the end in mind. Now the end of this one was they were going to be fishers of men, right? He was taking them out of what they knew and into something they didn't know, but there were some similarities. They had fished for fish, now they're going to fish for men. There were some similarities. You know, a fisherman doesn't have any guarantee there's going to be any fish in the net. Come on. So when you start out wanting God to give guarantees, you're going to be in trouble. Because then you're depending upon the stuff and not the giver of the stuff. So he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now listen, here's what you do. You always start with the end in mind. The end in mind was Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. Start with the end in mind. The end in mind was that they were going to become fishers of men. Why? Everybody listen. Because it was God's will for their life. It was God's will. So God called some who worked for the IRS. He called one of them, Matthew. He worked for the IRS. And how many of you know that when an IRS man dies, they probably have to screw him into the ground instead of burying him? I'm sorry, Lord. For those of you that are IRS people going to watch this by Facebook Live or by video, my name is George. Now, you know, you start with the end in mind. For instance, anybody here attended college? Graduated from college. All right? So you went to college not on a spur of the moment, but saw something was in your spirit, something was in your hearts, letting you know that this is what I want to do for life. But in order to do that, I need the preparation and I need the training that gets involved with it. Now, I hold 3 college degrees, and I understand that, you know, Pastor Josh's dad holds about 7, and I'm just thinking that he is either a gluttony for punishment or he has 3 screws loose, you know, somewhere along the line. But you see, it was the will of God for that individual life that that person becomes a nurse, a painter, a plumber, an air conditioner person, a soldier, an airman, a marine, a navy person. That was a doctor, a lawyer. That's God's will. You say, wait a minute, I thought God's will was just preachers, you know, and evangelists. Now listen to me now. God has anointed, called of God, nurses who are just as called of God as I am. Just as called of God. God has people everywhere because they are anointed to represent him in that area. When I go flying somewhere, I don't tell anybody that I'm a preacher. You know why? It immediately shuts the door. So here's what you do. First of all, you start with the end in mind. So what is it that God has called you to be, to do? What is it? You say, well, nothing. That's not true. Because he told Jeremiah, while you were yet in the womb, I formed you and I called you by name and I have a plan for your life. You say, but I don't know God's plan for my life. Listen, that's very simple. What is it that is within you and what is it that you're good at and what is it that brings God glory? And you begin to seek after that. Listen, there are people who are anointed by God to dig good ditches because the guy digging the ditch beside them doesn't know Jesus, and he got you there so that you can be a light in the darkness. You're called by God to do that. It's a calling. It's a calling. You say, well, I'd rather do something else. Well, you know, Peter said the same thing. When Jesus wasn't around one day, Peter said, well, I'm going back fishing. Can I tell you something? Nobody who has ever tasted of the Lord and found him good can ever be satisfied with anything else. Find out how God has wired you. Go after it. Now remember, it starts with the end in mind. Now let's go back and we're going to take it one step at a time. First of all, it starts with, and he said. Now that's a rhema word from God. So you see, that's very personal. So what God called me to do, he didn't call you to do. And what God called you to do, he didn't call her to do. And what God called you to do and be, and where God placed you, is not where he placed somebody else. That's your place. You got it? And so you see, it's a rhema word. It's what God has spoken to you about. I could come here and say, well, we want everybody here to go join with me. We're going to go to South Africa and we're going to start a church. Some of you would get so excited. Oh, yeah, let's go do that. But then you're going to sit down. You know, I really don't. I'm not quite sure I want to go, you know, maybe for a vacation. So find out what has God spoken to you about. Now, you see, God has a will for your life. God has a plan for your life. Now, in our church, this is a passage. This is something we use all the time. I have mine quoted all the time. God's word is his will. Say it with me. God's word is his will. His will is my promise. If God said it, That's a promise. I don't have to hear God say it over and over and over again, because the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. The Bible says, listen, everything in the world will change, but my word is settled forever and ever, saith the Lord. So you see, if God has said it, it's his will. And if it's his will, God's word is his will is my promise. Are you ready? And his promise is my confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we receive those things that we've asked him. So let me tell you something. If God called you to be a plumber, he's going to give you the grace and the abilities and the skill set. Does it mean you're going to be perfect at it at first? No, but you see, no fisherman is perfect at fishing. He has to learn the trade. He has to develop the skills. He's got to make himself available. And can I tell you something? He's got to go fishing. You got to go fishing. All right, now listen. So number one, God's word is his will. His will is his promise. His promise is my confidence. Now let's go back to that scripture. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. All right. Number one, we have the word of God, which is the will of God. The will of God for them was become fishers of men, correct? That's the will of God. Now watch what he says. His word is his will. He said, his eye was his will for them. He said, follow me and I. That's a promise. God did not say that some angel is going to make you a fisherman. Now listen carefully. Now watch this now. This is going to hit really hard. He did not say, and men will make you. Go and get that. Did you get that one? Well, you know, so-and-so, if it hadn't been for so-and-so, I'd have got that promotion. No, you'd have got that promotion if God had wanted you to have that promotion. And you might have got the promotion if you had worked harder. Listen, nothing can come the way to the child of the believer except it was first sifted through the fingers of the Father. That's it. Well, I just believe that, you know, man got in the way. Are you saying that man is greater than God? Does not the Bible say that Nebuchadnezzar was going to eat grass like an ox until he learned that it was God who reigns supreme over the affairs of men? Listen, you can blame people all you want to, but what it simply says is that you were looking for man to be your source. But I want you to know, man is not the source. God is the source, and he opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man. Listen, I want you to know that God and God alone is your sovereign.
Yes. Amen.
Well, you know, I just believe man can get in the way. Then what you're believing is that man is bigger than God. Can I tell you something? He one day, for whatever reason, said, let there be light. The God of light said, let there be light. Not that he needed light, but he had a purpose. He had an end in mind. What was the end? He was going to make man in his image, and he was going to crown him with glory. He was going to make him a little bit lower than the angels, but crown with glory. And then he was going to put all things under his feet. The Bible says even Christ was already crucified before the foundation of the earth was laid. So you see, nothing catches God by surprise. There's never been a time when God slapped his forehead and said, oops, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, God is God.
Yes, he is.
Quit getting upset with people who think that they got in your way.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? If God had wanted you there, you'd be there.
Amen.
Listen, the cross couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. Death said, I got him. But all of a sudden, death screamed out, help me, he's coming like up. He's God and he can do whatever he wants. And the Bible says he exalts and he abases. So you see, get the idea that, well, man has done this to me. Man didn't do anything. Somewhere God is just working his will out in your life. So stop fighting the will of God and start working with the will of God. Don't you believe the Roman? Don't remember, his word is his will, correct? Am I right with that?
Is his word absolute? Then Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, sometimes what we think is man getting in the way is just the purpose of God being developed along the way. That's it. That's it. That's how it works. And so his word is his will. Now listen, let me go to that part just very quickly, because I promised everybody I'd finish in 20 minutes. So now listen, his word is his will. What was his will? His will was to the end in mind was to make them fishers of men, right? That's his will. So that was his divine purpose. The divine purpose of God is his will. And so, but now watch this. His will is always, watch, his will is always worked out individually.
Yes.
Personably. Because he's not going to give me what he has for you.
Amen.
That's right. He's already set your steps in order. You commit your way to him, he brings it to pass. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your steps. The steps of a good woman are ordered of the Lord. And there's not a demon in hell can stop the plan of God from being fulfilled. He laughs at those who says, I will. And he says, let's just see if you will or not. Amen. So we begin to realize then that God's will is personal. So that's why when David said, he said, my eyes would not stay asleep. I awoke early in the morning that I might seek your face. He said, I heard your voice in my midnight hour saying, this is the way, now walk in it. Have begun to realize that God had a plan for my life and a purpose for my life, and that he had the power to accomplish his will in my life. Amen and amen. God is not limited. The Bible says he's able to do abundantly above all we can ask and think. So when the enemy says, well, you know, it's over with, don't you know that's what the grave said? Grave said, I've never lost anybody, but they had never met anybody like Jesus. Amen. His will is personal and it's personally directed. It's just personally directed. And so as he's dealing with you, he's dealing that way. He's dealing with somebody in this way. And he's dealing with somebody else in this way. And he's taking this one at this speed. And he's taking this one at this speed. And it's all good because it's all God. I didn't say it was pleasant. And I didn't say it was comfortable. And I didn't say he did it my way. You know, it's like the song, and I did it my way. Listen, go to Burger King if you want it your way, but if you want the will of God, you got to stay in his presence. All right, but listen. So, and everything about the will of God is relationship driven. It's personal direction, and it's relationship driven. You know, this is going to, maybe I should have them cut the Facebook off while I'm about to say what I'm about to say. So I'll change it. All right, yeah, I'll change it. When my daughters were little, they could crawl up in my lap, put their arms around my neck, tell me how much they loved me and what a wonderful, perfect dad I was. And they could ask for anything and it would be done. Amen. It's personally directed. You know, it's relationship driven. Never mind. Stop right there. I can hear somebody saying, which I'm married to, John, leave it and go. All right, now let's go on. Let's look back at our scripture one more time, and forget the points. Let's just stay on the scripture, because if you don't, I'm going to preach longer. So he says, and he said to them, follow me and I. That's his promise. His word is his will. His will is my promise. I will. I will. I will. And when God promises, he never breaks a promise. When God speaks into your spirit and says, now listen, I'm going to breathe this thought into you. What? Yes, because the Bible says he makes his thoughts agreeable to, he makes his will, our thoughts agreeable to his will. So I got saved. Just a couple of nights after I got saved,
And way down deep inside, I had this thought that I was going to be a preacher. When I was 8 years old, I was standing out underneath an oak tree, and I heard a voice, just like I'm talking to you, saying, I'm going to make you a preacher of my word. And I looked up through the oak tree, and I said, I'm talking to God like I'm talking to you. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, all the preachers are always begging for money, and the children look like they're starving to death. That's exactly what I told God. And that was end of conversation until I got saved. But you see, God is patient and long-suffering. I might have messed up along the way, but the plan was still going to be fulfilled. What the enemy meant for evil, God just turns around for good. So when you think a door shut on you, it wasn't man doing it. It was God, because he has something better for you. He's got to get you out of your comfort zone. He's got to get you away from what you've known. He's got to get you out into the deep waters. He's got to get you somewhere it's only him that can supply. Faith is not faith when it's comfortable. Faith is faith when the storm blows and when I don't understand. And so his eye, so he says, his eye, that's my promise. And then his promise is my confidence. And I got to close. Somebody bring me a keyboard player up here. The Bible says, his Bible tells us this is the confidence I have in him. We have in him that if we ask anything according to his will. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God called Peter and James and the rest of them to be fishers of men without already having planned where they were going to fish? I've got a good friend of mine. He's he's one of those fishermen that get paid to fish. You know, goes bass fishing circuits and all this good kind of stuff. He has an instrument, a GPS, and everywhere he catches fish, he puts a waypoint on that GPS. So when he gets into his boat, he just goes back to those waypoints. Can I tell you something? God has already got a GPS of all your waypoints out there. It's already out there. It's already there. All you're doing, you say, well, I don't know where they are. You don't need to know where they are. It's relationship driven. You just keep walking with Jesus. How did he say you're going to get there? He said, follow. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your heart. Follow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Follow. Surrender your heart, your life to God. Follow. This one thing I do, I keep my eyes on the prize and I follow. I'm not the one who makes it happen. He is. It's his will, his timing. But since it's personal and it's relationship driven, my part is to follow. That's it. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. I just follow. I'm a servant. I just follow. So it doesn't matter. And please, you've got to remember this. No one can thwart the will of God for your life but you. Well, I blew it because I knew God's will. Don't you know that God knew that you were going to blow it? And he had already planned for it? There'll come a time he'll say, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now let's get up and get going. Now I'm being, all right, since I got about 2 minutes, and here it is. Some of you have, you've had God lay those thoughts in your spirit, but you're not pursuing them. The Bible says, seek the Lord. Follow. Pursue. Just pursue. You see, God does not drop his will on us. He breathes it into our spirit, and then we start pursuing, and we keep the end in mind. What it does, it brings us step by step. You see, the will of God is not a destination. It's the journey. It's the journey. So David said, I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the creator of heavens and earth. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I'm just going to follow. I don't have to be the shepherd. I can be a sheep. I'm just going to follow. And David said, I'm not going to fear what man can do. I'm just going to follow.
Because as Abraham said, he believed that he that promised was able to keep his promises. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we recognize, God, that sometimes our faith does get a bit shaken. But then we hear a word that says, I've called you. I'll provide for you. I'll open doors for you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But you got to let go of the past and of the present. You got to embrace what's coming. Lord, I want to let the old wineskin go. I want some new wine. That means there's got to be a new wineskin to hold it. So, Lord, make a new wineskin in me. God, I just want to be open to your will and what you want to do. So now with every head bowed, let me just do this, say this. If you're here today, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God's will for you, and this is God's will for you, is that you should know Jesus. You should know Jesus who died for your sin, Jesus who paid the price, and that Jesus who rose from the dead. And let me introduce you to him right now, and everybody pray this aloud with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize now that you had a plan for my life all along. I've been doing it my way without you, but this morning I turn my heart to Jesus Christ, and I surrender my life to him. The enemy's been trying to keep me away, but this day I receive Jesus. He is now my Lord. He's my Savior, and I confess, Jesus, you are my Lord. From this day on, my sins are forgiven. I belong to Jesus. Now let's give him a praise offering. Let's give him a praise offering.